Welcome to the Full of Money Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording at 8:56 British Summer Time. Today is May 28th. Well, today's been a rather interesting day, particularly for the commodity complex. I haven't commented to a great extent in the comment of the day on the commodity complex, primarily because I was out of the office taking my youngest daughter for a checkup to Cork. So I was out of the office most of the day. But this has really been a very big day for commodities. We see that oil is up over a full dollar and is pushing into the $65 range. Silver broke through this $15 level. It's up 26 cents on the day and through $15. Gold was up over $10. The oats contract broke upwards. Wheat was also very firm today. Coffee was a bit stronger. I have a list of them in front of me here. Lumber did extremely well today. This is the second upper dynamic in a row and pushing upwards. Nickel is pressuring the upper side of its base, was up $105 today and is currently sitting at 13,500 even. Copper continues to consolidate but is still very firm above the $2 level and was up another cent and three quarters today at 213.860, what's that, 85. Brazil also had a very strong day, was up over 1,000 points and breaking upwards now from this consolidation that has taken the better part of May to complete. So pushing up towards the 55,000 level, which is really only 2,500 points away, and for Brazil, that's really not very much at all. So there was a concerted move right across the commodity complex today, and that was at least in part in response to weakness in the dollar and weakness for the yen. The yen was weaker by a yen and a half against the dollar and more than, well, almost 2.5 yen against the pound, and it was weaker against a whole host of other currencies as well. We've also seen over the last couple of days that the treasury market has been considerably weaker. Now, it was a bit steadier in here today and appears to be closing out the day up about 20 ticks on the 30-year and up marginally up 6 on the 10-year. But we have seen that yields have really taken off over the last 10 days or so, are looking somewhat overstretched, still really quite consistent, and the progression of higher lows would really need to be taken out to really question this consistent move that's been going for a few months now. And of course, the yields are coming off a remarkably oversold condition. But they are looking a little bit overstretched in the short term, and if that pulls back, then that will remove the beginning of a headwind to stock markets. And stock markets were a bit firmer in here today as well. We saw that the Dow Jones, the S&P, and the Nasdaq were all up over 1%. Europe was a bit easier. China and Hong Kong were both closed today for the Dragon Boat Festival, and I think Hong Kong is open tomorrow. So it will be interesting to see what happens in Hong Kong. If I'm up in the middle of the night, I may be tempted to open a position in Hong Kong. Otherwise, I may wait until the morning and perhaps go for the H shares because I think they're that bit more consistent than the Hang Seng. And we continue to see that in stock markets, you have the FTSE consolidating below this 4,500 level. The DAX is just below 5,000. The S&P is flirting, continues to range around this 900 level, and the Dow Jones is below at the moment this sort of 9,000 level, and markets remain really quite consistent. Nothing has really happened to scare the bulls out of their positions, and really what we really would need to see is strong downward dynamics on consecutive days to really check the advance beyond a brief pause. And what we've seen for a lot of markets is that they've been ranging for the better part of May, with the majority holding on to the vast majority of their gains so far. In Asia today, for example, we saw Taiwan also pushing upwards once more. And the Nasdaq is threatening the upper side of its range. The tech DAX in Germany is also looking firm. So technology-related markets are looking good, and the technology sector often leads. And as a cyclical play, technology does have potential here, particularly when we look at the longer term, for example, in the Nasdaq, where it's testing the 2003 lows in this long base formation development that is going on. So not the kind of market that's going to lead us in a recovery situation or is going to be the major theme going forward, but certainly a cyclical play because it's rallying from the lower side of its range down here. But the big secular themes going forward continue to center around China, the emerging Asian economies, the big population centers of the world in terms of the infrastructure development that needs to go into them, and the commodity producing countries that are going to supply the raw materials for this infrastructure development. So we have emerging Asia and we have commodity producing Latin America. They continue to lead and they remain relatively consistent in this move. So there has been nothing yet to shake the bulls out of there. Complacency at this point, our growing complacency, and we will know what it will look like when it does happen because so many markets are now pushing to the upside. Commodities are in on the game and commodities are pushing to the upside. And we're seeing that things that were viewed as safe havens, such as treasuries, such as the dollar, such as the yen, are getting weaker in here. So money is being taken off the sidelines, put back to work in the markets, and increasing numbers of people are attempting to chase this really remarkable trend that has been underway for more than 2 months at this point. Well, almost 2 months at this point. And nothing has happened yet to change the dynamic that's in the market. Of particular interest is how gold is performing because it held up remarkably well when most investors were rushing headlong towards those safe havens. And as they started to take their money out, it was gold pulled back sharply relative to the rest of the commodity complex. But it found support in the region of $850 and has been rallying really quite impressively in both in absolute terms over the last month or so, but also in relative terms when compared to those other safe havens. It would suggest that the people who bought gold as a safe haven and were only looking on it as a temporary buy before they put their money back to work in stock markets or other commodities have probably sold gold. And the people that are back in the driving seat are the traditional buyers of gold looking on it as a long-term store of value. Gold does best when it's appreciating in all currencies, for the simple reason that that is a clear indication that investors are buying it not just in one country because it is performing in that currency, but in lots of countries because they view it as a sound store of value. We don't currently have that situation at the moment, for I suppose the reason that gold performed remarkably well when the dollar was strong in a lot of other currencies, because you had the relative weakness of those currencies and the relative strength in the gold price, and it is now being hampered by the relative strength of those currencies. So what we are seeing is that gold is appreciating in US dollars, and I haven't seen it, but very probably in yen, and it is off its highs in the vast majority of other currencies. That will probably change as gold really does start to get underway, and as it pushes up, it's at just at 959.20 here today. It does appear that we're going to see a test of the highs up around $1,000 sooner rather than later, and we've been predicting for the better part of this month that we're going to see gold pop to the upside sometime this year and probably in the third or fourth quarters, although it could conceivably be sooner than that, considering that we're getting quite positive action in here at the moment. What we have seen with gold over the last, well, over, through the entire duration of this bull market has been that it has a tendency to accelerate out of lengthy trading ranges. We've seen it on two previous occasions. This is a larger reaction in terms of amplitude, but a smaller reaction in terms of the time that it has been spending ranging. And considering that the amplitude of this rather large correction was exaggerated by the biggest financial crisis in living memory, then it may not have a huge impact on the overall direction of where gold is going to go. There aren't very many instruments out there that are close to their highs, and the fact that gold is showing this remarkable relative strength to the rest of the market is noteworthy, and there are a number of related gold shares have already broken to the upside. So those are clearly the ones that are showing the best leverage to the gold price and are very likely unhedged if they are performing in that regard. But we are seeing that there is increasing interest in the rest of the commodity complex, and where investor interest meets a sound fundamental story, or where we start to get supply shortages, either because we have strikes coming up or because there are weather-related instruments in the foods, then we could see the commodity complex turning to true outperformance in absolute terms. And that would appear to be more of an issue of when as to if. And looking at the government bond market, it is easy to look at these bond prices and to say that they could rally from here. But when we look at the depth of the bear market in yields, or the extent of the bull market in bond prices that's been going on for the better part of 30 years, it is hard to extrapolate this move very much further. For example, I looked at the long-term chart of 3-month yields today, and they topped out in the early 80s close to 16%, and late last year they were below zero. Well, you can't get very much below zero. And when we ask ourselves how much higher can they go in terms of price, well, obviously not very much higher if the yield is at zero. That puts a limit on just how far they can go down, which would sort of suggest over the long term the risks are probably to the upside in terms of yield, downside in terms of price. And I will leave you with the question that if governments want to borrow our money so very badly, do we really want to give it to them at such remarkably paltry yields? And with that, I will leave you for the evening, but I would like to wish all the best to all of you.